The text that was read this morning is about knowing Jesus. By this, we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. I like having friends, don't you? I enjoy having friends. They know us. They know us. It's nice when people know you. They know your likes, your dislikes, your weaknesses, your strengths, your interests. They know you. They like being around you. It's wonderful to have people that care about us. It's like family. And I like having family, don't you? I like having people that really care about us. Physical family and spiritual family. No one knows us like family. But the most important relationship in our life as believers in Christ is the one we maintain with Jesus. Now, I hear people talking about having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and there's definitely some limits to that. There's some big time limits to that because He is God. And you don't mess with God. You don't mess with God. You don't play head games with God. You don't get disrespectful with God. It's a different kind of relationship than with a buddy or your mate or your parents and your children. It's a different kind of relationship. It's a one of respect. It's one of submission. It is one of a king over his subjects. So there must be a respect for God in all things. So when we talk about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we're not talking jokes and carrying on and cutting up. We're talking about closeness and intimacy with our Lord. That's what we're talking about when we talk about that. And the thing is, to know Christ should be the goal of everything about the new life God has given us. To know Christ. By this we know that we know Him. Listen to what Paul says about this as the goal of a believer. The personal goal in the life of a believer should be as follows. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. What's he saying? I've given it all up so that I may gain Christ. Is that what you have to do? Well, yeah. Yeah, you do. You got to give it all up. Your loyalty cannot be to your stuff. Your loyalty cannot be to your possessions. Your loyalty cannot be to your position. Your loyalty cannot even be to your family and your friends. To gain Christ, you must count it all lost. You must give it all up. He has to be the central focus of your life. And every decision you make is based on Him. Every thought you think is based on Him. Guided by Him. Governed by Him. Now, ladies, I know a lot of these guys may know. Some of them don't, I guarantee you. Some of them don't understand. But ladies, I know that a lot of y'all understand what an oil filter is in your car. Now, I know a lot of you do. Some of you may not. But there's some of these guys that don't know either. Okay? They think they do, but they really... Some of them don't. That's just the way it is. Oil filter in your car, what's it for? That oil is to lubricate that engine, keep that motor, that engine, motor, whatever it is. I don't know the difference. But it keeps that thing lubricated. It keeps it from getting overheated because of all the friction and all the fast-moving parts and the heat build up. And that oil helps dissipate that heat. And that oil is essential to the life of your vehicle. And if you don't have that oil in there, that vehicle is going to lock up. But that oil filter is necessary to keep that oil clean, to keep that oil doing its job. Now, ladies, I'm sure that most of you already knew that. You knew that. My mama used to make tea with loose tea. It wasn't bags. This is pre-bags. This was BB, before bags. Okay? And so she'd take that tea and put it in, and it's just boiling in the pan. Just loose tea boiling in the pan. And then she had a tea strainer. And she'd take that tea strainer and pour that tea through that strainer, and it would strain out those tea leaves, those shards and, you know, all the junk that's in there that you don't want to be chewing on. It's bad when you're chewing tea. Okay? So that filter was there to screen out the leaves. Christ is the filter in our lives. He is the filter. Every thought you think goes through Christ. Every word you say goes through Christ. Everything you do goes through Christ. And when you say, I will not do this, it's because that's what Jesus wants you to do. If you say, I will not go there, I will not say that, I will not have that attitude, it's because that's what Jesus wants. Because He's the filter. And so, you know, and now one of the things about some people, have you ever heard of Tourette's? Tourette syndrome? Tourette's is one of these strange neurological disorders that interferes with your ability to filter what you say. And so a person with Tourette's, while they have some tics and they have some things that where they jerk around and everything, they're liable to say anything. And I mean anything. Okay? And they have no control over it. Their filter is not working. And there are people that claim to be Christians who seem to be afflicted with spiritual Tourette's. The filter is not working. If I know Christ, if I know Christ, then I am guided by Him. I am regulated by Him. My life is controlled. My tongue is controlled. My eyes are controlled. My brain is controlled. My actions, my hands, my feet are controlled by Him, regulated by Him, guided by Him. He is the filter through which my life flows. Now you have all this stuff going on inside you, but what people see in your life, the Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What people see in my life has to be filtered through Christ. They need to see what Jesus would have them see in me. Now the stuff that's going on in my head, yeah, it's a struggle. It's a struggle to maintain your attitude, maintain your right thoughts, keep your life in harmony with God's will. It's tough. It's a challenge. Paul wrote about that in Romans, didn't he? How hard it is. The good that I would do, that I do not. The evil that I would not, that I do. I find in myself a war, a battle raging. Well, yeah, so that's true. That's common. But if we know Christ, if we have an intimacy with Christ, He's the filter through which we live, through which our life goes out, and people see and know us. And they can see that we are children of God. Folks talk about being in Christ and knowing Christ and abiding in Christ. And unfortunately, I fear there's too much shallowness and too much of a distance being kept from the Lord by so many people who are afraid to be intimate with the Lord. I said in Bible class earlier, now children, listen carefully. Okay, listen, kiddos. Adam and Eve in the garden were naked, and they were not ashamed. Since that time, we are supposed to wear clothes when we're out in public. We're supposed to wear clothes when we go out in public. Kids, are y'all listening? We're supposed to always wear clothes when we're outside, when we go out with people. But I'm going to tell you something. God sees every one of us, whether we have clothes on or not. He sees every one of us as naked all the time. There's nothing we can hide from God. He sees the scars. He sees the birthmarks. He sees the blemishes, the freckles. He sees every muscle, every part of our body. But more importantly, every part of our heart, every part of our soul, every part of our mind. God sees every part of us all the time. We are naked before God. We don't hide anything from Him. That is the reality. All right, kids, y'all all understanding what I'm saying here, right? You're understanding. Okay. God wants us to be real with Him. I'm talking to everybody now. He wants us to be real with Him. Be who you are. You can fool me, and you can fool each other, but you're not going to fool God. Be real with God. Do you want to be saved? Do you want to go to heaven? Then you got to be real with God. And that's part of what we're talking about by this closeness with God. There's got to be this intimacy where you accept that God sees you as you really are, and you do everything in your power to walk as close to Him as you can. Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the evening in the garden. Y'all remember that story? Before the fall in the garden, before Adam and Eve sinned, God walked with them every evening in the cool of the garden. They had that intimacy. They had that closeness with God. We all need that. We all need that. There was no covering up from God, either figuratively or literally. Everything was open, everything was exposed, everything was unveiled and vulnerable in His presence. And you know what God said? It is very good. It is very good. It was just right. There was no fear, no shame, or perceived need to hide. Then Adam and Eve violated their fellowship with God. You remember the story, and I'm not going into it. They sinned. They ate the forbidden fruit. Was that the end of the story? No, not hardly. Not hardly. God now went looking for this now sinful, now ashamed, now hiding pair. Adam, where art thou? Adam didn't know where he was. God knew where Adam was. He knew what bush he was hiding behind. He knew where Eve was standing. He knew what they had on, wearing those aprons and fig leaves that barely did the job. Where are you, Adam? Adam didn't know. God knew. God knew. And God still seeks us out when we feel the need to try to hide from Him. When we feel the need to try to hide our sin, our attitudes, our thoughts, our fears and our doubts, when we try to hide from God, He still sees us. He still knows where we are. And He might ask of us, where are you, brother, sister, Christian? Where are you? He wants us to be walking with Him daily, just like it was in the garden. God wants us to walk with Him and talk with Him daily. He's wanting that with us. He's wanting that real, vulnerable intimacy in His presence. He wants us to be ourselves, where there's no dread, no shame, no hide-and-seek relationship with God. That's why He came looking for us in His Son, Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus was sent into the world. God was seeking people to come back to Him. The whole point of Jesus coming to this earth was so that man could come back to God. Man who had cast himself out because of his sin, because of his disobedience, who had separated himself from God so that God would not see nor hear his prayers. Man did that. God didn't want that. And that's why Jesus had to die. That's why He came to this earth. But see, and this is the problem. We are so scared of intimacy that many times we resist it. We resist it. Now you take two lovebirds, two teenagers or two college-age students, and they just, oh, they're so in love. It's disgusting. They're so in love. They just, oh, they can't stand to be apart. They can't stand to be away from each other. And when you see them riding down the road, if it weren't for bucket seats, you wouldn't be able to tell there was two people in the car. Now, those of you that are older remember bench seats. And I remember Faye would sit up so close to me, that, and we were both tiny back then. But Faye would sit up so close to me, you couldn't tell that there was two people in that car. And then I got a Ford with bucket seats. Worst thing I ever had. But I put a pillow on the hump, and she'd sit on that pillow. There was no seat belts back then. But she'd sit on that pillow, and we'd drive down the road. The other day I said to her, because I got a bench seat in my car again, and she's sitting over there by the door, and I'm sitting over here by my door. And I looked at her, and I said, honey, you remember when... No, she said to me, actually, I'm messing up my joke here. She said to me, honey, you remember when we were dating and we used to sit so close you couldn't tell we were two of us in the car? I said, yeah. She said, I sure miss those days. And I said, well, I hadn't moved. Scoot on over. Well, seat belts and safety and bicycle helmets and all this stuff. It's a different world we live in. But the point of it is this closeness. Where so many times we're afraid of closeness, we're afraid of intimacy, we're afraid to let people too close. We keep people at a distance. It's a social thing. It's a social relationship. It's a casual acquaintance. You know, how you doing? I'm fine. How you doing? I'm fine. And we don't want to go any further than that. And God is not happy with that. He's not satisfied with that. He wants more than that. And you know what? You want more than that too. But you're afraid. You're afraid to let people too close. And even to let God too close. But the thing that you got to realize is you can't keep God out. He's already there. And you're the problem. You're the one that's hindering the relationship. You're the one that's hindering the intimacy. Reach out to Him and He is there. Reach out to Him in prayer and God is listening. Reach out to Him as you read His Word and He is speaking. It is a two-way relationship. As you are reading God's Word, He is speaking. Are you listening? And as you're spending your moments and your time in the daytime or nighttime or in the morning hours in prayer, as your heart is breaking and you're crying out to God, He is listening. He cares. He's right there in the room with you. He's right there. Somebody says, I just don't know if my prayers make it past the ceiling. They don't have to. God's right there. He's with us. Jesus promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will be with you all the way to the end. He's right there. So the only reason that we would not have intimacy with God is not on God, it's on me. It's on you, it's on us. To have that intimacy, we need to be honest and open and vulnerable. Yeah, there's failure in your past, just like there's failure in my past. There's confusion in your heart right now, perhaps. And there's fear about what might happen in the future. I understand that. But God expects me to be human. He knows that I'm just dust. He knows that I'm just flesh. He knows that I'm like the grass of the field that is here today and gone tomorrow. God knows my limitations better than I do. And He expects me to be human. This is not a justification for sin. This is not authorization for you to let go and just give in to temptation. No, no, no. But God knows that you are weak. Did He scold the disciples when they fell asleep while He's praying in the garden? Did He scold them? He didn't scold them. He said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He didn't scold them. He understood. He certainly understood, and He understands us. But we've got to reach out to Him. You know, there are some myths about intimacy. There's a church myth. As long as I'm in church, I'm close to God. Folks, you could be in the best church on planet Earth and still not be close to God. You. Because it's a personal thing. Or you can be in the worst church in the place. Look at Corinth. Man, can you name a church that was more messed up than the church at Corinth? I ain't talking Mississippi. I'm talking about over yonder, Corinth. Man, that was the most messed up church. And yet, people could still be saved. They could still go to heaven even from that church. They could still go to heaven. So it's a personal thing. And another myth is the knowledge myth. If I'm a good Bible student, I'll be close to God. I'll buy me a good study Bible, and I'll build a good library, and I'll teach Sunday school, and I'll become the most knowledgeable student of God's Word that's ever existed. That way, I will be close to God. Don't get me wrong now. Faith is built on the facts that are revealed in God's Word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We know that. But some of the meanest people I've ever known could quote more scripture than most others. Have you noticed that? There are some people out there that are so mean and just vicious, and they can quote a lot of scripture. So that doesn't guarantee closeness with God either. Another myth is the idea that if I'm good, if I behave myself. This young lady in North Carolina that we baptized so many years ago, her attitude, she didn't have to go to church. She didn't have to do anything as far as being a Christian except be a good person. If I'm a good person, if I treat people right, I'll be right with God. And she just rejected the whole idea of needing to go to church or being involved in doing the good works of God's people. She just wanted to be good to people. That was her attitude. And that's earning your way to heaven, folks. It doesn't work, does it? Good behavior myth? No. If I stop doing some of the things I've been doing, and if I do the things that God wants me to do, then I'm right with God. I'm close with God. That's not guaranteed. That's not guaranteed. Dishonest people can do good deeds. Criminals often cover up their criminal activity by making huge donations to legitimate charities. You know, even evil people can do good. So that's no guarantee that you're close to God. Oh, what about the warm and fuzzy myth? Look, don't ever preach hard to me. I don't want that old time. What I want is feel good. Make me feel good with God. Because that way I know I'm close to God. Folks, the time would come when they would heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They didn't want to hear. They didn't want to be convicted. They didn't want to be confronted. They didn't want to be asked to change. That was the thing that was warned about, that Paul warned about in 2 Timothy 4. No, a warm and fuzzy Christianity is not going to help you be close to God. And the last myth, the less than perfect myth. I'll never be close to God because I just can't be perfect. And so why even try? Well, folks, that myth has a ring of truth to it. You'll never be perfect. You'll never be good enough. You'll never have all your religious ducks in a row. You'll never be able to do it. So why even try? Because God said, I accept you as you are. We sing the song, just as I am. Just as I am. God will accept me just as I am. As long as I will keep trying. As long as I will submit to Him. And yes, I'm going to work on my life. I'm going to change. I'm going to become better. I'm going to become more like Jesus. I'm going to mature. But here I am right now with my sin, my dirtiness, my weakness, my feebleness. And God says, you come on anyway. I will forgive you by the blood of my Son if you will do what I say. Hey, He'll accept us just as we are. We just can't stay that way. We got to keep working on it, keep trying to do more and be better than what we are. Well, God wants intimacy with you. He wants you to be close to Him. And the way you're going to get close to Him is spend time with Him. You're going to have to take time. We take time for banjo lessons. We take time for school, we take time for training, we take time for hobbies, we even take time for vacations. Okay? God wants us to take time with Him. A school teacher lost his wife in an accident, and he had a 12-year-old daughter. He had to assume the full responsibility for taking care of this little girl. And of course, like any single parent can tell you, it was a struggle. With his teaching duties, and he was just so concerned he didn't have enough time to do all that needed to be done to take care of his little girl. They're grieving over the loss of her mother, his wife, and he was so looking forward to the Christmas vacation, 2 weeks with his little girl. He was so excited about having these 2 weeks that he could devote to her completely. And on the first day of the vacation period, when she got out of school on Friday, on Saturday morning, she secluded herself in her bedroom. She wouldn't come out for anything. The door is locked. She came out for meals and went right back in her room. It was the same thing every day until Christmas morning. Every day, day and night, he didn't see her except at meals, and she didn't talk. And he was just so frustrated and heartbroken. And he was seeing this as a sign of his absolute failure to try to cover all the bases, to meet her needs, to be what she needed. Was she angry at him? Was she simply hurting over the loss of her mom? He couldn't figure it out. And he sunk into a sadness that bordered on despondency. He was so frustrated, he felt like he couldn't do it. He couldn't handle it. And then finally, Christmas morning, under the tree was a present his daughter had been working hard to make for him, a pair of hand-knitted socks that she had made for him. And she said, "Daddy," and her eyes were shining, "I was so afraid I couldn't get them done in time, and that's what I've been doing in my room. I was knitting you socks. Do you like them?" And he grabbed her, pulled her close so she couldn't see his tears. "Oh, darling, they're beautiful. They're perfect. I love them. I love them." But in his heart, that was breaking. "I didn't need the socks. I can buy socks. I needed you. I wanted you. I wanted time with you. And this time is gone." What do you think God is saying to us? He wants time with us while there's time, because the night is coming when it's going to be time for us to leave, and then we've missed out on so much, so many blessings that God wants to give us because we didn't take the time to pray, to study, to reach out to Him. We didn't take the time to listen and to cry out to Him. God wants to walk with you in the cool of the evening. He wants that with you. And I want you to have that. And if you're not having that now, if there's something in your life that's keeping you from having that closeness with Him, you can do something about it, but you can't just sit back and wait. You got to take an action. You need to reach out to God, and He'll be there. If you're not a Christian, you need to become a child of God so you can have that intimacy, that family tie with Him. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then repent. Turn away from sin. Confess your faith in Him. Be baptized in water. Let the Lord wash your sins away by the blood of His Son. Be a child of God, a New Testament Christian. And if you've already done this, but you've not been faithful to Him, come home before it's too late. Come home before time runs out. God's reaching out to you. Will you reach back? If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come right now as we stand and sing.